Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 67 of Slam Fire Radio for July 25th, 2014. I'm back.
Hey. No, you're supposed to do that in an Arnold accent.
No, see, that would have been before. I'll be back. Is he? I'm just back
right.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, Tuma.
Get to the chopper. So, yes, I'm Morning Shot McClatchy, and joining me tonight are my esteemed hosts. This is where you introduce yourself, guys.
You said esteemed, so you must be talking about Trevor.
Oh, Bolivar's not here tonight. Oh, oops.
Threw us off, yeah.
See, that wasn't a cheap shot at Bolivar. I was being nice to him for a change.
Why would you do that?
I couldn't help it. It was the lack of oxygen in BC. That was way up high in the mountains. Kind of yeah.
Elevation
with me.
Sickness.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Owen.
Yeah. Right. Yay. Good job, guys. By the way, before we even go any further, with every drop of sincerity that I have in me, the shows that I missed that you guys did were absolutely fantastic. You guys did a fantastic job. Good job.
Thanks, I think.
Seriously, I just wanted to say that. I honestly had no idea what to expect. In fact, I fully expected to come back to Trevor saying, I was too busy, I didn't do it, and Owen going, there was a show? So, you know, the fact you put out anything was amazing, but what you guys did was absolutely really, really good. So, Owen, what'd you do with guns this week?
Well, I did a little bit, I guess, on Saturday. I took my wife to the range, and we actually met up with Mark Price, who was shooting his grandpower for the first time. And he brought his son and
Justice,
and a friend of his son's,
Captain America.
Yeah,
Caesar.
I don't even remember what his name is, unfortunately. Michael or something like that. Yeah, so. That was kind of neat, and Amy just basically practiced all kinds of stuff from the charity shoot, just really concentrating on what she learned when she shot there, and just put bullets through the gun, you know, just trigger time. I said, she probably shot 150 rounds, and really worked on trigger control and getting her cross-eyed dominance thing figured out. So it was better by the end of the day. She said, I can tell now when I don't pull the trigger right. So
that's a good step to be at, or a good stage to be at.
Yep. So since she's figured that out, now she can sort of self-diagnose a little bit. Because it's hard. I mean, you can only tell so much by watching someone, you know, what they're doing. At some point, you can tell them all the right things and give them all the information. But until they can actually physically do it themselves and know when they're doing it wrong, there's only so much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, she went through various stages of disappointment and elation as her shooting was good and not so good through the morning, but. Or afternoon, I guess it was. And yeah, Mark was there, so I got to shoot the grandpower. It's quite a nice gun. I shot actually better than it with it than I did with my Glock.
Single action trigger.
Yeah. No reset length. Like it just, you hardly let out on the trigger at all, and it clicks.
Yeah, and that's the K100, right? That's like the carry model.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Amy liked it quite a bit too. She put about 10 rounds through it, just one mag. But she liked it. So maybe that will be the direction she goes. I don't know.
Does it have all the adjustable back straps like the Excalibur one does?
It does have a place so you can do that, but he didn't have any. I don't think it comes with it.
Oh, see, the Excalibur comes with all of them. But, of course, there's a difference in price there, right?
That's right. Yeah, so I think you can get them for the K100, but I don't think it...
I'm pretty sure it's the same frame, just the Excalibur has different sights and a longer barrel, right? Extended slide.
Yeah. No, it was good. He shot pretty good with it, and he doesn't have a holster or you know, he doesn't have anything. He just has the gun, basically. So he's saving money, basically, just to put ammo through it at this point. So it'll be good to... I think he's interested in taking a black badge at some point. Maybe not this year, maybe next year. So
well, it's so late in the season, right? That
yeah,
it doesn't really matter if he misses this one. He can get on the one in the spring.
That's right. Yeah. So that was kind of the other funny story. We had promised to take some friends of ours to the range. For a week or two now, they'd actually asked us, said, will you take us to the range? And we're like, yes, no problem. We'd love to take you. We'll go down. You know, both the families will go down. The kids can shoot and the whole bit. But just didn't seem to happen. Schedules didn't seem to line up. So then when I wanted to take Amy down for some actual dedicated practice, we needed a babysitter. And they ended up babysitting our kids while we went to the range. So I felt pretty bad about that. But I think this Saturday, we're going to go take them down. But. And then this past Tuesday evening, I shot an IPSC match, just a small one here in Woodstock. And that went off quite well. I had 14 people, so that was pretty good. So,
yeah, it was quite busy. It 14 people is a large squad because you can't break up your range. It's one range. And having 14 people in one squad made it a bit... It was hard. Well, it wasn't hard to get through. I mean, we got through it, and all the ROs that were there were amazing, and they did a really good job shuffling people through efficiently, not hurrying anybody, but doing it efficiently. And, you know, safety was, of course, utmost. But, big shout out to Mike and Dan and Larry. They came from Fredericton area, and they're all really good ROs, and they really helped. Helped get
and with setup and everything. I mean, they have so much experience. You could hand them a piece of paper, and they could go, "Oh, okay, we need two here, three here, four here," and off they went, and they could throw it together.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was good. So I think that's about it for me.
I was hoping to get down there for that, but I was supposed to record a podcast that night, and then turns out that the other guys weren't available.
So you should have come to the IPSC match, but you couldn't because you did a show, but then you just didn't do the show anyway.
Roger that.
So you should have come to the IPSC match.
10-4.
Beauty.
So, Matthew, what did you do?
I went to that IPSC match in Woodstock as well.
Right.
And it was fun. I didn't shoot as well as I had hoped, but it still was a heck of a lot better than you, so I was happy with that.
Yeah, we weren't going to talk about how awful I did, but...
We weren't.
I'll talk about how awful you did. I see Mike Partridge won, and Owen, you were like fourth again or something?
I was fourth. What do you mean again?
You were fourth at the charity shoot.
That's right, you were.
That's what I mean again. What, did I stutter over here?
Well, yeah, you could have.
But I didn't.
You are dyslexic and all, I mean...
No, yeah, I didn't... It was just a weird night. I had two stages that I was just blistering on.
Oh, wow. It was the stage was you shoot down, you knock down, was it one popper?
One popper, two
classic. Yeah, one popper, two classic, and then a swinger. But the way they set up the swinger, they made a tunnel of obstacles, and you saw the swinger for like a half second at a time. While it was swung like, back and forth.
There was like 8 inches between two barrels, basically, that the swinger swung in front of.
And he goes, ping, pop, 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 pop. And he nailed them all.
Yeah.
Wow. It was amazing. It just the timing was just absolutely perfect on it.
4 seconds, just over 4 seconds.
Yeah, I think it was 480 or something like that. But yeah, it was incredible. So, but then you did really good on a couple of them, but then a couple of them.
Yeah, and then two of the longer stages, I just... I don't know. I just wasn't as fast as I could have been. I screwed up a mag change. I didn't make a mag change when I was supposed to, and pulled the, I've got one round off, and then it didn't go to slide lock because I had my finger riding the slot. Yeah, the slide lever, lock lever, and oh, frig, just.
The good news was you didn't flinch on the dry fire.
No, that's true.
So it was bang, click, and the gun just set, I was watching, and it just stayed level. I'm like, oh, nice, dry fire there with no round, with nobody flinching. So that was good, but not having rounds in your gun whenever you're supposed to is generally bad.
Yeah, and then again, the steel was the bane of my existence. I could not hit that steel.
Yeah, I had trouble with the first stage too. The three mini poppers at 11 meters. I think I'm a clutchy shot at all three of them at least twice before I started to connect.
So anyway, yeah, it wasn't either of ours probably the best performance, but you did better than you thought you were going to, though.
I did. I thought you had beat me actually for a while.
Yeah.
And you were convinced you hadn't, and you were right, but whatever. Mike, of course, being first place, got 100%, and I think I was like 86%.
Yeah, it wasn't
so I was
even
way close. Behind him.
He had a good run.
He
can move really fast for a big man.
He really can.
He's accurate too.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, he's out of the revolver too. He's back to production, which means he's in our division, which means I want him to go back to revolver. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that was fun. We did the IPSC match there, and then of course the last couple of weeks I've been out in northern British Columbia.
Yeah. So Trevor, what did you do?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I did. So I went on a trip. What did you do, Trev?
No. I just saw a picture of you jumping into the water next.
Oh,
to the
I wasn't
plane.
Jumping.
Oh,
I wasn't
tossed.
Jumping. I was being thrown.
So why were they throwing in the water?
They threw everybody in the water.
Oh, I thought it was just you. I was like, they just met him, and already they're like throwing him in the water.
Basically, yeah. Well, let's see. That's actually kind of a funny story. First of all, I believe that's a glacier-fed lake, based on how frigid it was. Let's just say it didn't take very long to refresh yourself. It was in and out, and you're done. Hypothermia. Nice. But anyway, yeah, we were playing Ultimate Frisbee out on the airstrip, and we were all hot and sweating. We're coming back to the lake, and a couple of the guys just went and jumped in the lake, and of course, them being all sort of our age and as mature as we are, shall we say, they're like, well, let's start throwing dry people in too. And so we're of course laughing, and we're watching them throw in these people, and meanwhile I'm there as Steve's friend, like nobody knows me, I'm just like the who's that guy, like I was that guy.
Well, that's so like when you're here. I mean, that's...
yeah. So anyway, I'm just kind of standing off to the side and just kind of chuckling and taking it all in and laughing, fully expecting to be completely ignored, because why would they interact with me? They don't even know me. And meanwhile, the guy, we were there for a wedding, and the groom, he comes up to me and goes, hey, you look awfully dry. I'm like, haha, good one, whatever. He goes, no, really. And he grabs me from behind, puts me in a big like bear hug so I can't move. I'm like, seriously? Like, what is... He's like, I've got my phone. I've got my boots on. They're my only pair of boots. Like, I really don't... They're like, he yells over to the... Guys, get his stuff! hands went into my pockets. They were grabbing things. They had my phone. They had my boots. They had my flashlight. They took my watch. And next thing you know, I'm off the end of the dock.
Wow.
I took three of them with me, so it was all right.
Oh, you did good. Yeah,
I did take three with me, so that was fun. But yeah, no, we were in Bug Lake / Coldfish Lake. And yeah, the Bug Lake story is kind of funny too. We were at Canadian Tire at our last stop in Civilization in Smithers. And we were in Canadian Tire getting some bug spray. And Steve like, should I get one can or two? I'm like, just get one. I mean, the bugs haven't been that bad. And the guy's like, no, you're probably going to want one each if you're going out in the backcountry. I'm like, okay, great. Bugs are going to be bad. Just what I needed. So we get to the float plane base, and so I ask him, so where exactly are we going anyway? He says, oh, Bug Lake. Oh, you're kidding me. There's so many bugs, they named a lake after it. Awesome. But I put bug spray on twice the entire 10 days I was there. There were hardly any bugs. Once I put it on because I didn't know what to expect, and once they just sort of came out a little bit at dawn, or at dusk sort of thing, and their bugs were actually fantastic. It was great in that regard. But yeah, we were in kind of the middle of nowhere, you know, go to the middle of nowhere, take a left, and that's kind of where we were at. I had thought we were going on a wolf hunt, and then while we were there, going to a wedding. But as it turns out, we went to a wedding, and while we were there, we got to go on a wolf hunt. And only the twist here is the person responsible for getting the wolf tag fell deathly ill just a few days before we got there, and no tags were acquired. So we didn't actually go on a wolf hunt. So it kind of sucked in that regard, but we still did get to go out all through the mountains on horseback. We went on sort of an expeditionary kind of scouting mission, so to speak, and we just went out for a couple of days camping and spotting. We saw basically every animal in BC, or an example of every species of every animal in BC. We saw moose, caribou, elk, goats, sheep. We did see wolves. Steve saw four wolves from the airplane as we flew in. They had just finished killing something. We're not sure what, probably a caribou or something, and were feasting on it. And we saw four grizzly bears, one mom, and three cubs. So we were very happy to be the probably 4 kilometers away that we were when we spotted them. So we gave them a wide berth. But it was really neat seeing grizzly bears out in the wild. I've never seen grizzlies before, so that was really cool to see them. And black bear, and like I said, a whole bunch of other animals. They had this, we were up in the mountains, and we kept seeing these birds, and they were like mostly white with like gray spots. Kind of looked like grouse, but they're like sleeker. And they're all over the place. We just saw those things time and time again.
Oh, that's awful.
What's the matter
with you? Steve,
you
that one?
Yeah, actually, that was Steve's joke.
Yeah.
So yeah, a bunch of ptarmigan. I was thinking, man, we should have gone ptarmigan hunting because they were everywhere. You just walk along, and they're camouflaged. Wow, are they ever camouflaged? They just disappear until they start to move. And then you see them because of the movement, then they'll stop, and you really have to make sure you're looking at where they stop because they just blend right in. They're amazingly well camouflaged, so that was really cool to see that. We were up about 7,000 feet in the mountains. We camped up there, quite windy, quite cold, but lots of fun. Up above the snow line, we were going through snow in some places, so it was definitely something I've never experienced before, and it was a lot of fun. Steve says he's going back in February to actually do a proper wolf hunt, and actually do it this time for sure. He'll make sure he's got the tags before he gets there. And so he's going back. I don't know if I'll be able to go back, but he's definitely going back, and hopefully he'll get his wolf then. So
in February?
Yep.
I'm sure that'll be pleasant.
Yeah, well, he said he wants to go experience snow. Oh, okay. You'll come to northern British Columbia in February, and let me tell you, you're going to experience snow.
Well.
So we didn't get any wolves, but I did get a coyote with my truck on the way home from the airport.
Any damage?
Nope, truck is fine. I've got a Pathfinder's got a steel bumper, so that's it just bounced off.
You probably wouldn't notice an extra dent in that truck anyway.
Nah, probably not. But yeah, no, I was driving home. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was between Moncton and Fredericton on the Trans-Canada, obviously a portion without the deer fencing up, because four of them came out of the woods onto the road. I smacked one of them, and the other three took off. So got me a coyote finally. Just not with a gun.
So, doesn't matter. You got one.
I got one. So that was fun. Other than that, of course, Trevor's beautiful knife that he gave me as a gift got confiscated at the airport because I am an idiot and forgot to stow it. The reason I forgot to stow it is because I deliberately took it out because we got taken to a pretty sketchy motel in Toronto. That's another story. Probably not for the podcast, but that was a fun story too. Oh, we went fishing. I know this isn't a fishing show, but we went fishing twice. Once we went fishing because we had to feed everybody because somebody was supposed to bring fish and he didn't. So
sounds like this was really well organized.
Except for a couple of things. Yeah, no.
Like
anyway,
food.
Yeah, food and tags. You know, going to wolf hunt without tags and then go without your food. So anyway, we were told, everybody in a boat who had a fishing license, I mean, everybody who fished did have a valid fishing permit, everybody in a boat, go catch fish because we need fish for tomorrow. And in 1 hour, we caught 24 trout.
Nice.
So the lake was full of fish. We did have a fishing derby as well, and this is my fish story. I've always wondered where fish stories come from, and now I know. So we
from
pick out
fishing?
Well, let me finish. We pick out this prime spot in the lake to go fishing, right where this stream is coming into the lake. So we figure lots of oxygen, lots of bubbles going on there. It was some white water, so we figured fish are going to be congregated around this area. And boy, were they. So we get out there, and we were told, don't keep anything less than 18 inches. No problem. So we cast our lines out, very first cast, pretty much all of us get a strike. And so I'm reeling this fish in, and here, I don't fish, I have no idea. So I pull in this fish, and it turns out it's about 20 inches, rainbow trout. And I'm like, well, first cast, first fish, I'm not keeping this, surely there's bigger. So I let him go, keep fishing, turns out a 17-incher won the derby. So my very first cast, very first strike, very first fish would have won it. But nobody believes me, of course, because nobody saw it. So that is a fish story. It happened. I'm sticking to it. And now I know where they come from. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Got to ride horses. I never want to ride a horse again. That was fun. It wasn't really. I hate horses. I want to punch them. I now understand why Carl strangles them to death. Because they are uncomfortable to ride. And they don't do what you tell them to. Well, at least the one I'd had didn't. Oh, and the other really cool thing is, as we were leaving, a new party of people were coming in. Because this is an active hunting camp. And so another group of hunters had come in. And they were all Australian. And I met Bruce.
No, you didn't.
Yep. They came off. They were introducing themselves. G'day, I'm Bruce. And I was like, fish are food, not friends. But
did he get it?
I didn't actually say it. I should have.
What? You know.
Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't say it.
I didn't. And the only other exciting thing that I can think of off the top of my head is the door on the airplane popped open while we were flying. So that was cool.
Jeepers.
Yeah. But nobody fell out, even though
note
I wasn't.
To self.
Yeah.
Note to self. Don't go anywhere with Matthew.
Especially don't go hunting with Matthew because. Who didn't predict this, right? Matthew goes hunting with Steve Lee. Hunting trip gets messed up.
Yep.
He called it.
He tried to blame everyone else when he hunts here. Oh, it's those people I take with me that,
nope.
You know,
it's clearly it's me. I am a bad luck charm when it comes to hunting. So.
But apparently he's a fisherman. Oh, wait. You know,
no,
so.
Nobody believes that either. So. And don't go flying with me. Doors open in aircraft. So, yeah. Overall, though, awesome trip, fantastic experience. I want to thank Steve for inviting me to go along with him because otherwise I wouldn't have gone. And it was great. We had a good time. So that's pretty much all I did while I was away. So cool. I guess I kind of capitalized on a lot of time there. But Trevor, why don't you wrap us up with what we did with guns this week? And feel free to take your time. I did.
Me? Take my time? Well, SummerSlam happened. I shot the pre-match and I finished seventh actually overall and then for the open division.
That's really good. How many that was like out of about 20, 25?
Yep, about that. 21
That's not bad.
Maybe, yeah.
Pretty good.
So yeah.
Dill, yeah. That's great.
Of the New Brunswick Open Shooters, I finished third, so it was cool. Oh, what can I say? It's done, and I learned a lot. There were things that I was learning as I went through the process that I know now that will be expedited next year. It'll be so much easier next year because of going through it this first time pretty much on my own. I was supposed to be doing match registration. And then every once in a while, Salish would add something to the list. And one day I called him on it and said, what are you doing? You asked me to do the registration, but now you want me to do this? You want me to do this? He goes, well, yeah. I said, well, isn't that Chris's job? He says, no, Chris isn't doing anything this year. Chris is busy raising money for his foundation. So I'm the match director and you're the match administrator. Oh, well, why didn't you tell me that in the first place? Well, it's quite simple, really. And this is Salish talking. It's quite simple, really. If I had asked you to do the match administrator job, right up front, you would have said no. So
if I just start telling you to do stuff and you do it, then you just kind of slide into the position.
Exactly. He said, Chris and I know how to handle you. We'll ask you to do one thing. You'll say yes to that, and then we'll add stuff as we go. Which, if he had told me straight up what I was doing, I could have planned ahead more effectively and whatnot. So I ended up doing at the end the match administration and the match director's job. You know, Sal used to do the building and the fundraising, and Chris used to do all the administrative stuff, get the match sanctioned, answer all the emails, do all the squatting. I know I can do it next year, so I can do all the admin stuff and the match director stuff, and just as long as I get help to build the stages, it should be a lot better. Everybody leaving, well, everybody, so many people on Sunday stopped to say thank you and good job and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, did you just shoot the same match I did? Because it seemed like there was always something. The first morning was, besides the fact that we had to get an ambulance out there, that was just like, nah, that was like, okay, now we need an ambulance next, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it was constant. The radio was going. What it boiled down to, okay, three things that I'm not happy with this match.
Well, before you don't forget what they are, but just to clarify for the people, the ambulance was somebody didn't duck enough when he was going through a door, right?
I was
going
to come back to that, yeah.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure people didn't think that a serious injury.
So, well, it was a very serious injury. Very serious.
Yeah, but nobody got shot, so it's not a big deal.
That's right. Doesn't count unless it's shot.
That's right. Doesn't count unless you're shot.
One of the competitors tried to move a school bus with his head, and the bus won.
Yeah, those things happen. Yeah. Just about scalped himself, didn't he?
Yeah. And luckily, the 27 staples that it took to close the laceration are way high. Well, it was a laceration / avulsion, but anyway, it was very high up on his head, like basically right on the crown.
Right.
So, the scar shouldn't show too badly.
Only really tall people will see it.
That's right, yeah. Yep. So, the RO had just finished saying, make sure you duck.
And, duck more.
Yeah, duck
next
more.
Time. Yeah.
I mean, so luckily the RO was a former EMT, plus we had another former EMT on the range. We jumped into action like immediately. The call came over the radio. We need first aid at the stage 13, the bus. So squad 13 and stage 13 that this happened on.
It's just love it.
On Friday 13th, yeah.
Love it. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So anyway, McIntyre grabbed Mark's Rue. They ran up to their – drove up to that stage while I went out to call the ambulance and then meet the ambulance and bring the ambulance in. And he feels that we did an excellent job taking care of him, so I'm really happy to hear that. They got the bleeding under control right away and brought him out to the ambulance. The ambulance took him to the hospital, and one of our guys went with him until he was picked up by his family or whatnot. But it was bad. They had to do a CAT scan. They had to take him into the OR to clean it up and get the bleeding to stop, and 27 staples later.
Ouch. And they probably just didn't use a staple gun from there. I mean, you guys have staple guns there. You could have closed them up yourself.
I made that joke over the radio, and somebody told me later it was inappropriate.
Are you kidding me? That's hilarious. I love that kind of humor.
I'm like, operating room? We could have closed that up in the parking lot. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
So anyway, no, but so the three things that I'm not pleased with the match was the stages. We didn't go through them with a fine-tooth comb enough. And it's got a little frustrating because we had meetings and I don't felt that enough attention was given to the stages during the meeting. My intention was to bring the stage up onto the screen, and I had a room full of – I had a range master and a couple of CROs and some ROs, and I wanted to rip them apart and make sure they were bulletproof. But it just – they didn't seem to want to engage in that activity, and the stages got out there and got built with targets needing to be moved, so you didn't have more rounds than you're supposed to from one location. Messed up stage descriptions, things in stage descriptions that didn't need to be there. RO notes that were really shooter's notes. Like, Mike Partridge sent me a beautiful email with all kinds of feedback. I asked him for it ahead of time, and there's so much in there that I could take away from it and then put towards next year's match. But the stages weren't vetted enough. They just weren't. And so we were playing catch up to make things right. The falling door on the bus was, we almost tossed it. I asked the question. I said, look, is this slowing us down enough? Because if it continues, we're going to lose this stage. Luckily, we didn't lose any stages. We had that stage was pretty complicated because the resetting of the door didn't always want to work right. Then we had another stage that was called Double Vision. And we have a slider that has stationary targets in the front of it and then shoot targets. And we put the stationary targets that don't move, we made them penalty targets. And then the targets in the background that slide back and forth and kind of hide in behind the penalty targets were the shoot targets. We actually had this thing motorized running off of a generator. When you would open a door, it would flick a switch and turn on the motor, and the targets would start to move.
That's crazy. I would have loved to have tried that.
So you had four targets through a door and then two targets through a port. So you had to move just enough to make a mag change so you didn't have a standing reload.
Yeah.
So that one, in the end, the motor was getting hot. Mark Giroux, well, Sales designed it, and Stéphane Cormier designed the mechanism, took the motor to it to make the motor work. And it was we were given a garage door opener.
Right.
Mark Giroux, the mad scientist, he got in there, and it was his brain that was able to bypass all of the switches in the motor because it was timed, right? It would go, you can imagine, you know how a garage door opens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it goes up for a bit, and then it stops. Yep.
And then goes down, right? So he had to bypass all that, and he did. So he put the finishing touches on making that stage work, putting the switch on the door and making that work with the door. He stayed there for the whole match. The regular match, he ran that stage as kind of like a CRO to make sure that it was set up the same way every time.
Yep.
The motor started to overheat. So we had to get a fan on the motor continuously or we were going to lose that stage.
Yep.
So stages could have been better. Next thing I wasn't crazy about was the banquet. There was some problems at the banquet. The banquet took too long. God love Sean Bevins. The NFA was the sponsor. His speech, I was hoping for about 10 minutes. He was up there for 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
To those of you that were there and are listening and that spoke through his speech, that annoyed the hell out of me. And I think it's incredibly rude. I know it went long and I know that it wasn't the best speech in the world, but to talk so loud that some of us couldn't hear what he was saying, I think is disgusting. Thanks for that. The prize table was a bit of a screw up. Normally we bring labels and we take the labels and they have the competitor's name and stuff on the labels and we put them in a bowl and you just draw with the person's name, right? Everybody that's in the match goes in a bowl.
Yep.
We forgot the labels. So I said, well, that's fine. I've got my laptop with me. I've got the competitor lists from the scoring program with me. There's 171 names on that list. We'll take a piece of paper, write numbers 1 to 171 on it, cut them up, put them in a bowl. You pull out the number. I'll go to the list. If the person is here, great. If not, you have to be there to get a prize, right?
Yep.
So everybody from the pre-match was there. All 171 people were there, right? So there was a lot of – Chris would pull a number. He'd say 38, and I'd look at 38, and that was like Sean Hansen from the pre-match. So I'd say, nope, this took way too long. Plus, the sheets of paper that were cut up were tiny. And I think some of them got taken out and hit the floor or something because at the end I had people that were like, my name didn't get called. And one guy was like, did you call anybody from the pre-match? I'm like, yeah, of course I did. Well, nobody on my squad got called. Well, I'm sorry, sir. The list is right here. Like, you can look at it if you want.
Yeah.
So he wasn't happy. He sat there that whole time and then didn't even have his name called. So what was the third thing? The stages, the banquet. I don't know what the third thing was.
That was the third thing, I think, but
I didn't think the bus was the first thing. But anyway, I got a ton of email after the fact. I must have got 24 email from people that took the time to email me when they got home to thank me for and the Rush Goose Gun Club for all the hard work they did and what a great match it was. Blah blah blah.
Well, good.
Yeah, and so there's only one person that was told not to come back next year. So
nice.
Yeah, just too much every year. Drama, and
You're bound to have that. I mean, you know, we have that many people in a big match, complicated match like that. You're bound to have people like that.
Yeah. And I mean, nobody thinks it's perfect, and especially us, we don't think that it's without fault, and we know that, and we're always working to make it better. But
I think the majority of the people shouldn't expect it to be perfect either. And most, no, I say the majority of the people don't. I mean, I don't go to a match and go, well, this better be perfect or, you know, I'm never coming back. I mean, you just realize people are human and stuff happens, you know.
Yeah, just roll with it. I mean, seriously. This is a game. You know?
I don't think any of us in Canada are professionals. Nobody gets paid to be a match director.
Yep.
You know, we all give up time away from our family to be out there to build the best match that we can build. And in the end, we know it's not going to be perfect. But, hey, we're all volunteers and we're all trying to do the best we can. And I don't remember going on the internet and telling everyone, I am the match director from heaven, and I will bring you the best level 3 you have ever seen. I don't remember saying that.
No. See, I put that on for you.
That was you?
I signed your name on the end of that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Okay. Anyway, I want to go back a little bit to the banquet and the people who were talking through the speech. I may have been a little too hard on them, but there was a lot of talking, and I think it was...
That is incredibly rude.
Yeah,
I mean, it is.
Even if you don't want to hear the message,
just
you know, have some respect. Yeah. You know, the NFA put a like a $1,200 gun on that table.
Yeah,
and they spent a lot of money to have their booth out here and to have the big freaking gun. They had the 50 BMG on hand for people. You know, Sean came out here and spent time away from his family to be out here with us and on the range every day. And so the speech wasn't perfect. It was a little long, but come on, guys. Really? To purposely talk over it because you're a CSSA member or you don't like Sean? Like, just, I could never do it. You know, I would sit there and I would grin and bear it and then politely tell the match director, you know, next year maybe you should ask him to talk a little less or something.
Hmm.
I didn't get that, though. I just got people talking over him.
Yeah.
So, okay, moving on. Planning the multi-gun. It's we're going to do 12 stages, 6 stages a day. I'm going through the SummerSlam stages right now and trying to figure out like which ones I'm going to use. Some of them are no-brainers. The maze is going to be all rifle. I think the one on top of the hill, stage 8, that was a bunch of mini poppers and one paper target. You know, it'll be shotgun pistol. I'm going to do
Owen's going to really like that one, right, Owen?
I'm doing something different. doing one different this year that I never did before. Slugs on paper and on steel. Mm. We've got this one stage where there's a popper on the left that activates a double swinger, and then a popper on the right that activates two drop turners, one double and one single. Rather than tear it apart and try and rebuild it, and certainly you can't hit the steel with your shotgun and then get to your pistol fast enough to do the drop turners.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an all slug stage.
Wow.
You'll hit the steel with your slug and then take out the paper. So you'll need, it's a 12-round stage. So I suggest you start with your drop turners and then reload and go over to your swingers.
Yeah.
So.
That'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be a one shot. So one slug, so the popper and then the drop turn, and then the other one's a swinger?
There's two drop turners. One's a double and one's a single. So you're going to have two drop turners falling at the same time.
Wow, that's going to be rough. That's going to be tough, especially if you have a pump.
What can I tell you? And then, but remember, drop turners are disappearing and they don't count if you miss.
2, 4, 6, that's 7 rounds then.
So you'll have, I'm going to go best single hit. Sorry, I'm going to go best single hit.
Best single, okay.
Yeah.
That'll make it a little easier for guys who don't have an extended tube on their guns.
Well, don't go to a gunfight with an inappropriate gun. I don't know what to tell you. Right. You're going to play in a game up your gun. No sympathy. If you don't have Beowulf mags, that's not my problem either. You're going to need them. Get this. The house, we're starting upstairs on the back balcony on the bed. You're going to jump up out of bed, retrieve your rifle, engage the targets from outside up on the hill and stuff. Drop your rifle in the barrel, run back to the port, grab your shotgun, shoot a few clays off out that window, run over to the other barrel or the other port with your shotgun, and you're running right on the 180, so you got to keep that muzzle pointed downrange. Actually, I think I'm only going to do one port, otherwise it might be a bit of an arrow trap.
Right.
The arrow's got to make sure that he gets behind the competitor when he shoots out that. Yeah, we're only going to do one port. And then you drop your shotgun into the barrel and then run downstairs, I'm going to leave the pistol downstairs because I don't want somebody drawing their gun going down the stairs and breaking 90.
Makes sense.
So you'll get to the bottom of the stairs. Your pistol will be waiting for you on a barrel, and then engage some targets with your pistol.
Sounds like fun doing it backwards.
We've never started inside the house ever that I've been there.
Right.
So, and telephone booth, come out of the telephone booth, and the cars will be there, and you shoot the car, the plates with the plates behind the cars that flip up, and then there's the paper.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's going to be fun. Trying to get that all. Actually, shout out to Nick and Taylor, Harold Anderson's kids.
Yeah.
We went on a boat ride the other day, and we went for a walk on Heron Island. As we were walking, they were helping me design the stages. They came up with some great ideas. So, and then today, I went out to the range. I needed just a day away from Ipsic, and I decided I've been hearing about the Rifleman's Challenge forever. It was Sticks Rifleman's Challenge. Now it's like Squirrely Squirrel Friends Scotch Squirrels Challenge or something. Anyway, so I went out there today. I sighted in my gun at 25, and then I shot a group on that target off of the bench just to, you know, get a feel for it, and I did it under time. Get a feel for 10 rounds in 60 seconds. Then I went prone. I shot four targets prone. And then I went and put up fresh targets, and I shot four targets standing, packed up my gun and walked away and never even went to check my target.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, I'm telling you. I'm still hungover from SummerSlam. Like, some long days. And then when Mo and Matt Lorette and John Camforce got here, it was get up at 5:30 to go to the range and then stay up with John and Mo and Matt until it was 1:30 the first night, 2:30 the second night. So, yeah, a little tired.
I guess so.
Yeah. Well, that's it for me.
All right, then. Well, I guess we'll go into some upcoming events and whatnot. Pretty much everything we've already talked about. the SFR Flyer, Brendan Henney's still the winner from that for the last month. He's been the winner the whole time. We haven't forgotten about you, Brendan. We just have been busy. We'll get you on soon. I don't know when, but soon. We'll get to you. The Practical Armed Response Academy course with Tommy is sold out, so I guess that's that. The multi-gun Trevor's been talking about, that's coming up August 16th and 17th. Please pre-register. The form is on the Restigouche Gun Club website. Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic, October 11th, one spot left, $200. So come on out, train with Daniel Shaw, and learn to run your gun. So, into some news then, gentlemen. And we had a pretty busy news week. Well, not really. We had a busy news day yesterday. The government, Public Safety Minister Stephen Blaney, he announced some new common sense firearms licensing laws. So we're going to kind of, there's a bit of an article here I'll read, and then we'll kind of discuss what it says and what it means to you, the Canadian gun owner, how your life is about to change, if at all. So this does... Nothing. Yeah, this does come to us from Sun News, and it reads, Public Safety Minister Stephen Blaney announced new Common Sense Firearms Licensing Act on Wednesday, designed to cut red tape for legal gun owners. He also said owning a gun was a right, and it's a right that comes with responsibilities. That's a quote, so it's interesting that he said it's a right. The act would limit the powers of provincial chief firearms officers, make all firearm licenses possession and acquisition licenses, make it easier for legal gun owners to transport restricted firearms, provide a grace period to renew expired gun licenses, make the gun safety course mandatory, and crack down further on domestic abusers from owning guns. These measures would streamline licensing and eliminate needless red tape, said Blaney. Those who have shown a pattern of violent behavior should not be able to own firearms. These are the people we should be focusing our gun control efforts on. In 2012, Tory scrapped the long gun registry. Since then, some provincial chief firearms officers have angered gun owners with stiff, arbitrary measures under a clause that allows them to attach, quote-unquote, any reasonable condition they see fit to gun licenses. The power will be curbed by the new act. Also in the act, restricted firearms owners will be allowed to transport their, it says weapons here, but I'm going to change that to firearms, around their province with a single license. Currently, new paperwork is needed anytime a restricted weapon is transported to a destination other than the shooting range. Gun rights advocates have long argued the excessive paperwork does nothing to improve public safety. And then in a separate announcement, Blaney also extended the amnesty for the owners of Swiss Arms and CZ-858 rifles, which the RCMP reclassified earlier this year. While the guns remain prohibited, the owners can now possess them and use them as they would before the reclassification. So a lot of information in there, and I think we'll go through each point bit by bit and explain in real English what's going on. So the first one. They talk about, it says, it will limit the power of provincial chief firearms officers. So, like it said, some of the CFOs have been using their discretionary powers to impose, like it says in the article, arbitrary restrictions, restrictions that have no basis in public safety. For instance, one of those restrictions that a lot of them will put on is you must be a member of a shooting club before they'll... approve a restricted firearm transfer.
I'm hoping actually, Matthew, that it's bigger than this. I hope that it's aimed at Quebec to do away with Loi Neuf and Loi Vingt. Those are two extra things that only the province of Quebec has.
I was just going to say that's a really good point. Yep.
I have also heard that in Ontario, for a while, I don't know if it's required yes at this point or not, still, is they used to have to take an additional test to get their ATT. So they got a test, they got their license, they joined a gun club, they got their restricted firearm, but there was another test they had to take in order to get an ATT. What is that about? It's in the Firearms Act that you shall give me my ATT. That's why right. Are you making me take a test? It's those stupid little things that I'm hoping that, of course, the gun club thing too.
There was a an interview that Sun News did with Stephen Blaney after all this. It was at a gun club somewhere in
North Bay, Ontario.
Yeah, something. They actually interviewed him, and what he stated in that interview was that his vision was for the laws to be applied the same across Canada.
Yeah, he said that in his announcement that, you know, because it's a federal law, it should be applied equally across the country.
I hope so. I hope that's the case, and I hope Quebec doesn't somehow weasel out of it, because I would love to see them with the same quote-unquote freedoms that the rest of us provinces have.
Mm.
So we'll see how that plays out there.
Okay, what's the next thing?
The next one is make all firearms licenses possession and acquisition licenses. So what happened there was there are a bunch of licenses out there called POLs instead of PALs, and those are possession-only licenses.
Yeah, that's what my father has.
That's right. So if you owned firearms when the possession and acquisition license law came into effect and you didn't have your mandatory safety training course, they grandfathered you into the system by giving you a possession-only license. They just gave it to you because you already owned guns. Well, here's the thing. They trusted you enough to own the guns that you already owned, but they didn't trust you enough to buy new guns? What's the difference? So I guess the common sense thing here is no more POLs. They're all going to be PALs. So if you did have a POL, now you have a PAL, and now you can buy more guns if you want to.
Now, they should have taken this one step further and made it a restricted PAL. Why yes. not, right?
Why not?
I trust you enough to buy a long gun, but I don't trust you enough to buy a handgun. Now we're at that level.
Yep, that's exactly it. So hopefully that can be another step that we take later on.
Go ahead.
I was going to move on to the next point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, make it easier for legal gun owners to transport restricted firearms around their home province.
Well, stop.
Yep.
Why only my home province? Why can't it be nationwide?
Here's probably why, because we do have provincial chief firearms officers. And so those CFOs are responsible for their own province.
Right, but it's
it
a federal license.
It is a federal
right?
act, though.
Mm-hmm.
Why we have a provincial, and it's not even an elected official, it's just a regular old
bureaucratic,
appointed official. Why we have a provincial bureaucrat enforcing a federal law, I have no idea. But we do, and I think that's probably why it's going to be for our province only. So we'll still have to apply. So say we want to go to Ontario, we're still going to have to apply for an ATT to leave our province with our restricted firearms.
Yeah.
but it's dumb. I agree. We shouldn't have to have that. And again, maybe this is a step in the right direction. Maybe they'll take a few more steps here soon. The next point is provide a grace period to renew expired gun licenses. And I like this. I am interested to see how long that grace period is.
Probably 30 days, but...
Yeah. As it stands right now, the day that your license expires, you become a criminal in Canada.
A paper criminal.
A paper criminal, but a criminal nonetheless.
So I'm glad they recognized that, because that was foolish.
That was. I mean, it came too late for many people. A lot of people have lost firearms, prohibited firearms, and lost their prohibited status because, you know, they just forgot to renew their license, or maybe the mail was slow or whatever. But if you didn't get your application in before the deadline and you owned prohibited firearms, because if you had owned them before they became prohibited, you were allowed to keep them, you grandfathered in, as it were, they took them all away and said, well, you've lost your prohibited status, so now all of your guns need to be cut up and destroyed.
Yeah, well, you don't have to turn in your long guns, but you'll get your long guns back, but you won't get your prohibits back. Yeah,
that's right. Fair. Yeah, it's not foolish. Fair at all. It is foolish.
This next thing I'm not crazy about.
Yeah, make the gun safety course mandatory for new shooters.
You know, I can read, and I challenged all of my tests.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to challenge the test, you should be allowed to challenge the test. And if you fail, well then... thank you for the donation. Now go take the course.
Well, that's exactly how it's set up now, and I don't see why they need to change that. As it stands in Canada, if you want your firearms license and you don't want to take the course, you feel that you know enough, you can go challenge the test. You just go and say, I'd like to write the test and do the practical exam, and they will test you. And if you pass, well, obviously you know the material if you pass. So what's why are they forcing everyone to take this course, sit through 10 hours per license, because we have two, the restricted and the non-restricted. So that's 20 hours that somebody's going to have to waste if they already know all this stuff.
And I don't know what it's like in some provinces, but I've heard so many complaints about some of the courses that go on in New Brunswick where the guys spend a lot of time talking, but very little of it has to do with the material.
That's right. It's a lot of wasted time. Yep. And the last thing, the last point that they say here is crack down further on domestic abusers from owning guns. And that's a very broad stroke there, if you ask me. They don't give any details.
But that already exists.
Yep. If you beat your wife, they take away your guns. So what? Yep. If you talk meanly to her now, they're going to take away your guns? I don't know. But
yeah, that could be what that means. That's not good.
That wouldn't be good. Well, it'll be interesting. Now, this is just a summary. This is just kind of their announcement, their proposal, if you will. It'll be interesting to read the actual wording of the law when it gets tabled. And I don't know when that's going to be, but I hope it's soon. And I hope that hope the wording is all in our favor, because they can screw that up too.
In the interview with Sun News, he said that it would be tabled as soon as the fall session starts, and he said sometime in the new year. He said early in the new year.
Right, but don't we have an election this fall?
Next fall.
Yeah.
Oh, next fall.
2015.
Oh, okay. That's good then.
Yeah. So, yep, next. So anyway, he said sometime in the winter, expect to see it kind of get to the Senate. Now, it'd be interesting to see if they're required to make a bunch of compromises or changes to satisfy, you know, the opposition and things like that.
Well, the thing is, these are all common sense. They're small steps, but they are steps in the right direction for the most part. But they are all common sense, and it's hard to argue with any of them.
Yeah, I don't think there's nothing really earth-shattering here.
No. I would have liked to have seen – the only thing I'd like to – okay, two things. They could have meant nationwide with the ATT.
Yep.
And licenses should have been extended to at least 10 years.
Yeah.
It's a money grab. My license is mine as long as I remain law-abiding. So why make me renew it every 5 years? I do something wrong, they're going to come take it.
That's right. So. Yeah, no, they should be lifetime licenses. But like you said, Trevor, even 10 years would have been better. Mm-hmm. So... anyway, so I guess it's not all bad news. It's, you know, like Owen said, definitely not earth-shattering. But it is baby steps in the right direction. And it's really nice to see here in Canada, you know, for a long time, we had some pretty bad gun control. And it looks like we are finally seeing some common sense make some headway in Parliament, and it looks like we're going the right way. So I'd like to see this and see it gain a bunch of momentum and start scrapping some of this other stupidness that we have and start putting in some even better laws. So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. All right. Anything else on that, guys, before we move on to the next one?
The CZ-858 and Swiss Arms.
Oh, right. Forgot about that.
They're staying Prohib, but now we have three Prohibs.
Yep.
We have Prohib rifles that you can't take out of your house. We have Prohib handguns that you can take out of your house. And now we have a Prohib rifle that you – two Prohib rifles that you can take out of your house.
And hunt with.
Not going to be allowed to buy new ones, and you're not allowed to sell them. So, again, it's still confiscation through reclassification.
But
they're
going
to die with the owner.
How are they going to be able to legislate or to enforce this? Because these were non-restricted firearms, which means, well, most of them were. There were a few restricted.
Because we're law-abiding and the law says we can't sell them to each other.
That's right, but that's it. They are going on us being good people.
Well, no, but also, Matthew, you're not allowed to buy any new ones. So that's it. There are no more Swiss arms coming into the country. There are no more CZ-858s coming into the country.
Yeah.
And they will, you know, what happens when the owner dies?
That's right.
Just like any other Prohib, they're going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
So we didn't win anything there.
Nothing there, no. The only people who won in this deal are the people who currently own them because they can enjoy them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So that's it. They won a little bit. But again, though, if you want a CZ-858, the price is going to be huge, but you can probably still get one because they're non-restricted, or they were. So they're not registered. If I can see these things changing hands, even though they're not supposed to. I don't condone that, of course. That's illegal. The law says you're not allowed to, so don't do it. But I can see it happening anyway.
The price on the Swiss may go up, but the price on the CZ won't go past the price of a VZ-58 because you could still go buy a brand new VZ-58 today in either caliber 5.56 or 7.62x30.
That's true, and that's virtually identical rifle.
Better.
Yeah. So, very interesting. I was kind of hoping for a complete reversal on that, but I guess they just couldn't pull that one off. Mm. Oh, well. All right. Well, our next story we're going to talk about tonight is titled Applications to Carry Handguns Skyrocket in BC, Alberta. Do either of you want to read this? It's a little bit long.
Yeah, I can read that if you want.
Go ahead, Owen.
Application to carry handguns have skyrocketed in BC and Alberta in the past 3 years, likely driven by demand among people who work in the bush and want portable protection against wildlife. Rates have held steady in the rest of Canada, according to RCMP figures show released in response to an access to information request. We don't know how many of these applications were approved because the RCMP won't tell us. Because it's not that much access to information, is it? The number of applications and the authorizations issued are about the same, says Ontario's chief firearms officer, OPP Chris Wyatt.
Yeah, sure they are.
Superintendent.
Yeah, sure they are. Yeah, the ones that you receive are the ones you authorize. Yep, sure. Yeah, I believe that.
If someone applies for an ATC and it's really deficient... That's not the right word there.
Yep. But no, it's that's what he's trying to say. Yep.
It's really deficient. They're not a prospector. Oh, I see. They don't have a wilderness occupation. They just want it when they go camping. We just say you don't qualify, and they don't pursue their application. The higher number in BC, Alberta, and the Arctic is due to the presence of predator animals, Ganong said. We find that there has been growing concern about the bears, just generally, both among corporations and the general public. Said Eric Beer, a use of force instructor at Silvercorps, Delta BC Firearms Training Company. There has been an increase in interest in bear defense specifically.
I think CGN is completely responsible for that.
Yeah.
It's Thursday bear defense thread. What handgun do you shoot a bear with?
That's right. See, it would be interesting to see if there was more ATTs for bear defense came in on Thursdays.
Yes, we should get an access to information request there and see. Is Thursday the day you get the most of them?
Okay, so then it says, how does concealed carry work other than armored car guards. Private citizens in Canada can be licensed to carry handguns if they are trappers, need protection from wild animals in remote areas, or if the life of that individual is in imminent danger from one or more other individuals and police protection is insufficient under the circumstances. Last time I checked, it is always insufficient in my case, but anyway.
That's my opinion.
Police doesn't release statistics on permits to carry concealed handguns against human threats for security reasons and public safety reasons. Wyatt said it.
Good. That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yep, it's better than the newspapers down in the States.
It doesn't really make any sense, guys.
It's nobody's business who's got a carry license.
No, it didn't say who. It just said it doesn't make any sense to not say there's 15 concealed carry. There's 15 people authorized to carry in Ontario.
No, see, here's the thing.
They don't have to say it's Tom, Dick, and Harry. They just have to say there's 15 of them in Ontario.
Here's the thing. Yeah. This is why I think they don't, because there probably are only 15 out of 15 right. million people. And so what they're probably, they don't want to say that because they don't want to say, well, we have basically a useless law in the books. So it could be almost an embarrassing thing for them if they say, well, we have this law, but we only give it to our friends. And actually, we'll see that at the end of the article here.
Yeah. Ottawa lawyer Solomon Friedman says these permits are almost impossible to get. The legislation actually contemplates someone who has been the subject of specific threats of harm or death from a particular person, he said. The guy signing your authorization to carry, who is a very high ranking police officer, has to certify that the police aren't able to help.
So what police officer is going to say, yeah, no, you're right, we're not doing our jobs well enough, so yeah, you can have your own gun?
The honest ones?
Yeah, like I said, what police officer is going to say, I'm kidding. I know lots of honest police officers. It was just a joke. I don't really think that.
I have filed several authorization to carry applicants on behalf of clients, all unsuccessfully. Toronto mayoral candidate and former councillor Norm Gardner, who had a concealed carry permit for several years in the 1990s, said the weapon made him very, very calm. Gardner, a Metro councillor, kind of like yoga, I guess.
Yeah.
Gardner, a Metro councillor at the time who sat on the police services board, was approved after talking to then Toronto police chief Jack Marks. He said, for several years, Gardner carried a Glock 19, compact handgun. It makes you much calmer than you might ordinarily be because you don't want to have to get into a situation where someone could take it from you or you could expose the firearm or anything like that. In 1992, while he had the permit, Gardner shot and wounded a man breaking into a store he owned. He was never charged.
So it's interesting to see somebody who was a Metro councillor who sat on the police services board. He got his authorization to carry, but that's basically it.
And then used it, and then had to use it.
Yeah,
and didn't get charged
in defense of property, no less.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's interesting also that he says that. I really like the part where he says it makes you much calmer than you might ordinarily be. I mean, that's very true. From talking to people who have carried firearms, my American friends, and of course Trevor, who open carried in Utah. did you open carry in Utah, Trevor?
Yeah, I wasn't calmer though.
No, you probably wouldn't have been. You were probably a little all nerved out, but anyway.
No, not at all. You have to be a lot more vigilant.
Right.
And you have to be, your situational awareness, especially if you're open carrying.
Right.
If you're concealed carrying, it'd be a lot different, I suppose, because once you get over the fact that you stop worrying about whether or not you're printing, you could feel a bit more secure. But
yeah. I think what this guy means is, in my opinion, it means that by carrying, you are safer, not just because you have a gun, but because you don't want to have to use it. Therefore, you will be extra careful not to go somewhere where you might have to use it.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's the correct approach.
Yeah, don't do dumb things in dumb places with dumb people.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's what he means by it made him calmer.
Well, I mean, and you could look at that. Somebody could be somebody who's a bit high strung, or somebody could have a bit of a short temper, and the smart individual will recognize that he or she has a short temper, and if they're carrying a gun, if they're smart, they will go, I need to make sure I keep myself in check. I need to make sure that I don't provoke people. I need to make sure that I stay out of places where I will be provoked, because I now have the ability to defend life with lethal force, and I don't want to get into a situation where I have to do that. So I can see where he's coming from that. And that's kind of the idea that I was kind of taking away and was commenting on. You know, it's nice to see. I mean, this isn't even Sun News. This is global news. I mean, I know it's not CBC, but global news isn't exactly right wing either, like Sun News is. And it's nice to see
Global's pretty anti-gun.
Yeah, and this is a fairly, I mean, coming from them, it's a fairly balanced article. And it actually shows concealed carry in, if not a positive light, definitely a neutral light. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a negative light at all.
Mm. Nope.
So I read some of the comments on this article online, and a lot of the comments were in favor of the article and its
balanced approach.
Yeah, it's balanced approach, and they were saying we need concealed carry in Canada, and a lot of people were saying yes, the states have it, and their crime, violent crime rates are falling, and you know, their people were talking about how armed citizenry, you know, protects public safety and blah blah blah. It was really refreshing to see some common sense, because I was on the one about the announcement, but it was on CBC was one of the articles that I read. And for our American friends, that's like PBS for you guys, except they're all left. Very, very left. And, you know, this was, you know, we think these are very common sense and very small steps for us here in Canada. And the leftists were just falling over themselves to scream bloody murder, how people were going to, like, this is this is dumb, and, you know, I hate Stephen Harper, and that's the last time he gets my vote, it's horrible to think that hunters can go out and kill animals. Like, this wasn't even about hunting, and they're going off about that? Right. Yeah, it was, I just had to close my window before I...
As long as they're going off, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, that brings us into our main topic then. And since we have this multi-gun shoot coming up soon in Restigouche, and you should be there if you're anybody.
If you're going to be there, pre-register.
Yeah, do it quick. but anyway, we thought we'd talk a little bit about three-gun. I think we've discussed something along these lines before. We talked about our three-gun setup, but our setups have changed. Our firearms have changed, I think, for all of us. So we're going to talk again about what we have... what we're running for guns and what we're running for gear. So why don't we start with Owen? Why don't you tell us what you're shooting and how you are going to be carrying your equipment?
All right. Glock 17, NEA 15 rifle, it's an AR-15, and a KSG, Kel-Tec KSG. And
what everyone on the Three Gun Nation uses.
Yeah, everybody uses
it. Is it?
No.
No.
No?
Nobody uses it.
Nobody? Oh. Well, don't I feel great about myself?
You should, because you're...
Because you make it work.
You're thinking outside the box. You're stretching boundaries, as it were.
Right. Yeah. Hmm. It's pretty simple, very utilitarian kind of setup, really. I, unlike the other two, believe that a real warrior... can carry all his own weapons to the battlefield, and so I have my Glock 7.
Just let me finish.
No, you're not. You're pushing them in a stroller. So I have my Glock 17 on my hip in a holster.
What kind of holster do you wear?
Yeah, Phobos holster.
Oh. So again, top of the line things that they use in the animation. Yes. Okay.
I am considering getting a G code. Haven't decided 100% for sure.
What's a G code
holster?
Yeah,
and just because I like their RTI adapting setup, where you can put the RTI adapter all over different places, and then just swap your pistol around for the application.
So it's like a quick disconnect kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm considering that, but right now it's just a paddle holster. It works okay with my plate carrier that I wear, so all my mags go on my plate carrier when I'm shooting three gun.
Now you carry your plates in your plate carrier too, right?
I carry it when I think I'm going to get shot, which doesn't happen very often.
So you're not going to be wearing your plates then during the three gun?
I'm not even going to be at this three gun, but what? I would consider wearing my plates at this three gun.
I didn't know you weren't going. Why aren't you going? Why do you hate me?
It's on a Sunday.
Oh,
so you can get as many stages done on Saturday as possible, and then go home Saturday night.
We'll have to see, because I got the black badge the weekend after. 2 weeks before that's Tommy course, and I don't know what my employment situation is going to be like at that point. So just too many variables for me to commit right now.
Fine.
I've been telling you guys this since you planned this three gun way back in the winter. So
yeah, I like we listened to you though.
What's that? Exactly. I know I said don't walk on Zolan, but you can walk on for Saturday.
Okay.
It's still going to cost you $40 though.
Yeah, so I've got six, I don't know how specific we want to get here, but I've got six AR mag holders in the front with three pistol mag holders on the left-hand side.
So those are on your vest?
On the vest.
Do you have to kind of reach your, like, is it comfortable to grab your pistol mags? Because they're kind of on the side, aren't they?
They're on the side. I mount them as low as possible.
Right.
But I don't have too much of an issue. I mean, it's certainly not like drawing from the waistband like I do on IPSC.
Right.
But I place them somewhat close to where I would carry them in IPSC just because that's my natural muscle memory's all there to reach for that area.
Gotcha. That makes
sense. That's why I carry my gun where I carry it as well, my pistol, just because my muscle memory is all built in to grab for that area.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. Well, so you basically run a tack vest then, and then your holster's on your belt, and we don't sling our long guns, so you don't have a sling to worry about. So you run sort of a tactical setup then.
Yep. And on my sort of right front corner, I have a pouch that it's just a pouch, but it has shotgun shell holders in it, like elastics. So that's where I just carry my extra shotgun shells there for when I get to the line to load up my
shotgun. because you don't need to actually reload usually with your Kel-Tec.
Not
that holds
usually.
15 rounds. So yeah, cool.
But it is on that side because unlike a lot of three gun shooters, I load with my right hand. I load the Kel-Tec.
You roll it upside down. Right, yeah, you roll it upside down into your left hand, right?
And sort then load of. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sort of. Cool. So that's kind of a tactical setup. Trevor, tell us about your setup. Yours is a bit more traditional when it comes to three gun, I think.
Well, yeah, traditional in a sense of competition oriented.
Right. Yeah.
Owen's AR is a duty AR. My AR has an 18.5-inch barrel with a big compensator on it and a full-length handguard and a loopholed 1-4 power scope and a JP Industries trigger. So it's kind of it's an open style, race style AR, right?
Right.
My pistol that I use for three gun is actually my 40 caliber STI Eagle because kind of like a duty holster that I can holster it into very easily and safely and quickly. Trying to get my open gun back into the ghost holster would just be asking for problems.
Are you running your open gun?
Negative.
No, didn't think so.
No, I'm going to run my Eagle because I can't get my open gun back in the holster, right. And I don't have a holster like a duty style holster that my open gun would fit into with the Seymour mount.
Yeah, exactly. So, yep.
I'd love to. George McKillop did it, and I think he won. But you're burning up time trying to get the race gun back into the race holster and get it locked.
That's right, because sometimes you're shooting your pistol first and you need to reholster it to get to your next
correct.
Gun.
Correct, yeah. And so my shotgun is, of course, my new Versamax, and it has a 26-inch barrel, and it's been worked on quite a bit. It'll hold a capacity of 9 rounds of 2 3/4 inch. It's just got an extended bolt release, an extended charging handle. The welder's been lifted to prevent your thumb from getting pinched while you're loading. And the receiver's all been milled out, so it's kind of like a mag well on a pistol, basically, or on the bottom of an AR.
Mm-hmm.
My belt has an LHS holster for the pistol. It has mag pouches for the pistol mags and a 4x4 shell caddy for my shotgun. I would really like to get the shell caddies for the shotgun that are 2x2s. So you grab two shells vertically and not horizontally at a time instead of grabbing four
Yep.
Horizontally, you grab two vertically, you flip the gun over and put them in that way. I've seen some videos, it looks a lot faster, and but I just haven't gotten around to finding any yet. The other thing I'd like to get is AR-15 mag pouches that fit on your IPSC belt. They're a lot faster, and you know, again, we're playing three gun like a game. It's not so I use my gaming stuff, right?
I think PressTech Ventures carries some pretty cool mag pouches that'll fit on your IPSC belt.
Will they? All right, cool. Bring some up then, because I don't have anything right now. I'm still ghetto. My AR-15 magazines are in my pocket of my 5.11s, so I have nowhere on my body to put my mags.
Well, that's better than in the pocket of, you know, your jeans. I mean, 5.11 pants are at least set up a little bit for carrying AR-15 mags, so... Well,
yeah, you're right. It's better than that, but I need something. So yeah, if they clip on the belt, I'm definitely interested. I've got I've got a belt set up for every division production. Well, not every. I don't have anything for classic, but I've got a dedicated three gun belt.
Yep.
So I don't have to move stuff back and forth. So I can have a limited number of pistol mag pouches and some shotgun.
Yeah, because you don't need to carry five mags whenever you run three gun.
That's right. That's right. And I've seen some people in Three Gun Nation, they appear to be running a different belt. If they're running a rifle-only stage or maybe a shotgun-only stage.
Oh, is that allowed? I guess it would be if they're doing it.
Yeah, putting on a shotgun belt and a rifle belt.
Interesting.
But because we're doing more of a USPSA style and transitioning between three firearms, I kind of need to have access to all the ammunition at one time.
That's right.
So, what about you? What's your setup like?
Well, I was just going to say, you sort of have a sort of a high-end kind of race setup, an actual competition setup, and that sort of varies from what Owen does, and it varies a lot from what I do, too. I'm sort of the budget shooter when it comes to this. I'm just running your standard Glock 17 for my sidearm. I'm running a Mossberg 500. It's my only 12 gauge shotgun. I use it for everything, and three gun included. It has a 20 inch barrel with chokes. I'll be running a modified choke this year, not a full choke like I did last year. What are you running this year? A modified too, Trev?
Well, there's going to be a slug stage. So do I have to take out my full choke?
Well, you're going to run you can shoot slugs through a full choke, no problem.
Then I'm going to run full choke.
You're going to run full? Okay. I found last year with full, I actually missed some poppers because I was shooting like I had a modified in, but I had a full, and it was a tighter pattern, and I actually missed some, so that was interesting.
Well, I guess I'll have to go out and practice.
Yeah, see what you hit best with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Owen, I bet you're using an open choke in your Kel-Tec, right? Because that's all it's got.
Yeah. For now. Oh, and check out Tactical Ordnance in Ontario. They do some amazing work to the KSG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To do what to it?
They'll compensate the barrel by putting some ports into it, and they will thread the barrel for chokes, and they do a van comp system.
Okay.
And it increases or tightens up the group, the pattern size quite a bit. There's the photos and I think video of the work they do on their website to the KSG.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that'll be definitely something that would help you improve the usefulness and versatility of that gun for sure. The other firearm I use is, of course, my AR, and that's my listener donated AR build. It's different from last year. This year it will shoot better than 16 MOA. it's closer to 2 now, so it's definitely something that will actually put holes in the target at the right ranges. I have a Neotech on it now. Last year I ran open sight, so last year I was in standard. This year I'll be in open with everybody else, so that'll be fun. But it's just your standard Franken gun AR. It's a hodgepodge of different parts and seems to work good, so that's what I'm using for my AR. And as for carrying my gear, I just run my IPSC belt with a... I haven't decided yet if I'm going to use my Blade Tech or my LHS holster this year. One or the other I'll be using. And then I run a Chris Costa drop leg AR-15/pistol mag pouch thingamajigger. I don't even know what it's called. But it's a drop leg mag pouch holder, I guess. And it holds two AR mags and two pistol mags. And that's... You know, you start with one in the gun, and that's all you need for most stages that Trevor sets up. So,
Trevor,
yes, sir.
Are there any long stages this year, like 100 yards like you had?
There'll probably be virtually identical to what we had last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I could even have the option of running my little shorty.
Oh, the little tiny one.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, that would be cool.
But I don't know if I trust it at 100.
You'd have to try it out for sure.
Getting it out of a barrel is going to be cute.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought getting your KSG out of a barrel was a challenge.
Reach way in.
Yeah.
It's a shorty. So anyway, that's kind of how we run our three-gun gear. We'll see how the results tally up at the end of the day, and we'll see if there's an advantage to any of them. I don't think there really is. You train with your gear, you train with what you know, and anybody can get used to anything if that's what they want to use. So
McIntyre's going to be running my Mark 18.
Cool.
So, and I think Mark will have my 870 and my NEA. And I've got another. I'll just bring all my guns, and if somebody's short a shotgun in a squad or whatever, then
I got a bolt action 20-gauge shotgun somebody can use. Holds two in the mag, one in the pipe.
Nice. I'll get this one.
Yeah,
from Aaron.
That's tactical, right there, folks.
Aaron Mustard. Let's move on
to our listener feedback,
I love the show,
shall we?
And just wanted to say how much I enjoy it on my way to work. I work as an armored courier now since fulfilling my 5 years of service in the Canadian Army Regular Forces. If you would like to have a former military and ATC holder on the show when Trevor and Matt leave Owen to fend for himself like this week's show, feel free to send me an email. Again, love the show. Cheers, Amos. And he wrote A and must. Amos.
I like it. That's funny.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, we should have you on sometime and talk about that. We have had a former wilderness carry permit holder on. That was Jeff. And, of course, now you having your ATC for your armored car duties. That'd be interesting to talk to you about that. So, yeah, next time Trevor and I leave, we'll let you talk with Owen for a bit.
Do they actually get ATCs?
Yeah, I believe it's issued to the company, and the company delegates them to the staff or whatever.
Gallen would know, and so would Lorette.
Yeah. So, they don't get to take their duty pistols home with them. But I know Gallen has purchased an identical pistol, and he actually used that in this year's charity shoot. And I think he's using it again with Tommy when he comes up for the pistol course. So he'll actually be able to train with the same gun that he carries on duty. So that's kind of cool. It'll be able to help him in that regard. Yep. Very good. Well, thank you for the email, Aaron. And like I said, we'll try to have you on at some point so you can tell us all about these cool things. All right, well, I guess that moves us on to the best iTunes review of the week. And since I was gone, I figured there's probably a whole bunch coming in saying, where's Matthew? How come he's not there? Guys, actually, it's more like, oh, phew, Matthew's gone. But did either of you check? Because I didn't.
I didn't check it.
Beauty. All right, shout-outs?
Yeah, I got some.
All right.
And somebody else has one there? Who's that?
I do. Like that's mine.
All right. Go ahead.
This is to, I know I spell his name wrong here, but Paul Poulin, who found us on the Reno Viola network. He's a local
Viola.
See, I always say Viola.
Yeah, I know, but it's always been Viola.
It always has been, but I've always said it wrong too. So, Owen, it's a majority rule, right? So I'm sorry, Reno, you say your name wrong.
But all long-haired violin pleat people, they all call it a viola.
Yeah.
It's called a viola. It's the proper name.
But apparently it's a viola.
Okay. I apologize, Reno. It's the Reno Viola Network. Whatever. I don't know what he was doing. Anyway, he was just listening to it. He listens to it. Do you have a link to that on the Restigouche website?
To that network? No, but to our show.
And that link is on our website, so I don't know.
Okay, well, he was listening to somewhere he found a link to the Reno Viola. Viola? Jeez, this is awful. Network, and he was just listening along, and all of a sudden he was like, wait a minute, I recognize that voice. That sounds like Owen. What is this?
Oh, that's funny.
I just happened to mention something about doing a podcast, and he was like, I think I heard that. So anyway, this shout out is to Paul, who actually found us. So now we know at least one person from that network listens to our show.
Very nice. Trevor?
Awesome. To everyone that helped make SummerSlam a success, from the volunteers at the Rescuers Gun Club to the shooters that drove, you know, 16-plus hours from the Ontario and, of course, the residents of Quebec. Their match was populated by 80% Quebec shooters. So they come out in droves and support us. And again, Ontario driving 16 hours. Well, I'm sure we would get more of them if it wasn't 16 hours. But there's a group of Ontario, a core group of Ontario shooters that have been coming out for numerous years. And we certainly appreciate the continued support. And but yeah, without the volunteers who got out there to help build this match, without those guys, you know, it wouldn't have been possible. So thank you very much to everyone who helped make the match a success.
You're welcome. Oh, wait, I didn't do anything. no, very nice, Trevor. Good job. I have a shout-out to everybody who is at Kurt and Esther's wedding in BC. I, of course, talked about the show while I was there because I never shut up about it, if I can help it. And Steve was gracious enough to sing the McClatchy shot almost every night around the campfire, and eventually they just had to stop and ask, what are you singing and why? And so, of course, the story came out then. And from then on, it was McClatchy shot this, McClatchy shot that, all over camp. In fact, when they were throwing me in the lake, at one point I screamed as we were going down the dock. I'm like, oh, it's okay, you're throwing me, and you're just going to pretend, right? Like a warning shot? And they didn't. They threw me in anyway. But, yeah, no, I'm sure, well, I'm hoping at least a couple of them they express interest in listening to the show, so hopefully you're listening, and welcome to the show, and thanks for having a good time with us out there in BC, so, and thanks for having me. So that's my shout-out. So I guess I would like to remind everyone to join both of our National Firearms Associations, the CSSA and the NFA. They do good things for us, as is evident in the recent announcement. They both, I'm sure, had a big part in making sure that these laws got put through and suggested and tabled and whatnot. So they do good work, guys. It makes no sense to own guns in Canada and not be a member of both of these organizations. So get up. Go. You can get them right online. It's super easy. You don't even have to get out of your chair. Just go sign up right now. Also, check us out on the Gun Owners of Canada web forum. Lots of really cool information on there. Pictures and videos and reviews and people talking about guns. If you want to hear about guns and discuss guns and ask questions about guns, doesn't matter what topic you can come up with, it's covered there on Gun Owners of Canada. So go over, check it out, become part of the community. Please like us on Facebook. It really helps with our exposure. 1,019 likes or so and counting, I guess. So please go like us, and again, we review, or we post links to our show there, and of course we're always discussing and talking about different things on there too, so go check out our wall, and hopefully we'll entertain you for a couple of more minutes. Be sure to check out all the other great shows on the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, as well as the Crusader Podcast Network. They both have really good shows on there, including ours, or as well as ours, I guess.
Good shows and us.
Good shows, and then there's us. Yep. So, anyway, that brings us to the end of the show. I guess that's it.
No, hug something.
Hug your neighbor, and take your guns shooting. Wait.
And I'm Burgundy Ron.
Thank you for listening to the Dyslexics Podcast Show. See you next week, guys.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.